Welcome to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. And today, Friday, January 30th, 1 week before the trade deadline, we're going to talk all things Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Warriors. Before we get started, if you want to stay up to date with all the Warriors talks, especially on the Giannis front and heading into the trade deadline, a lot of exciting news coming up, hopefully. Make sure you follow the channel, subscribe, like it where you can. All right. As it stands, several sources, including Kalshi Betting Market, however much credibility you put in that, but also Brian Windhorst and Bobby Marks thinks that the Warriors are favorites to get Giannis. As it stands on Kalshi Sports Market, Warriors 22% chance that he's a Warrior after the trade deadline. Obviously, the Bucks still the favorites to kind of retain him and head to the offseason with him. But if he is traded, the Warriors, in theory, are the favorites over the Knicks and the Heat to get Giannis's services. We're going to talk about why we think the Warriors are the favorites, at least at this point, and why the optics seems to be pointing there. Also, a little more credible, but Brian Windhorst of the Hoop Collective, of ESPN, maybe the most connected guy, maybe outside of Anthony Slater with the Warriors, obviously, and Shams. Windhorst might be the most connected and have the most sources, and he has stated multiple times now that if something we're going to get done at this point, and since there's only a week left, he thinks the Warriors are the leaders in the clubhouse. Thinks the Heat are right there with him, was talking to Bobby Marks this morning, and they think that the Heat need to acquire another first-round pick, ideally 2027, I think is what they're looking at, to have a chance to kind of compete with the Warriors and make this a real conversation, because they traded, famously, the Terry Rozier to the Hornets for a first-round pick. Rozier, obviously the target of a whole betting investigation, and that seems like a lost first-round pick for the Heat, and that might be the difference why the Heat are not seen as the clear-cut favorites, and instead, our Golden State Warriors seem to be in the flagpole position at this time. I'll say this. At this point, it doesn't actually really matter. It's just a ton of posturing, a ton of speculation. Steve Kerr said it himself, I think yesterday, that he talks to Mike Dunleavy every day. There's hard offers out there, whether Giannis or anyone else. It's not like someone saying, hey, like, we'll give you a one for this guy, or you give us a one and two ones for that guy. It's a lot of speculation. It's a lot of preliminary talks and posturing just to kind of feel where everyone's at this point. It's going to come down to the wire. And basically next week is when all the wheeling, dealing, what's your offer, what's your best offer, comparing pricing. That's when everything's going to happen. So yeah, it's great to be technically kind of seen by, you know, media members that ultimately don't really matter, but hey, maybe some of their sources are credible and maybe it leads to the Warriors, you know, being the front runners. And we know what the Warriors offer is, and you know, there's no reason that the Warriors need to slow play their offer. You know, they want to set the market and say, hey, you know, we're all in on Giannis, which they've said, and this is our offer, you know, save for maybe some pick protections or market or salary matching pieces. Someone's got to go out and beat it because we believe we have the best offer now, and this is what it is. So if you haven't heard what the offer probably is looking like, it's Kuminga. It's Jimmy Butler for his salary, which, you know, there's a little bit of value to Butler. He's obviously not going to yield, you know, first round or multiple first round picks in terms of equity, but his big max expiring contract is worth something here. Probably would have to attach pods and all the picks, and those picks being four first round picks. So we're talking 2026, 2028, 2030 would be it would be first through 20th pick, because we promised our 21st through 30th to the Wizards if it conveys from that Jordan Poole deal. If that does not convey and say the Warriors do have a pick in the top 20, that pick now would be tradable to the Bucks. If it does convey, the Wizards get that pick. And then their 2032 first round pick. So four first round picks potentially, and one pick swap in the first round, 2031. They would offer up to three more swaps, or it's two more swaps if they could, but the Bucks don't have first round picks of their own to actually qualify for a swap. So to reiterate, as it stands right now, I'm thinking it's going to be Kuminga, Butler, Pods, four first round picks, and a pick swap for Giannis. And then to match salary, they'd probably be sending either back Kuzma or Bobby Portis. Potentially someone else that would work that the Warriors would love. And I don't know what would have to be done to get him in this, but Miles Turner, whose $25 million contract would work for salary matching purposes. I don't know if the Bucks say then, hey, okay, well then we want Will Richard, we want Moses Moody, we want completely unprotected picks. You know, who knows where the protections lie right now, but essentially to get Miles Turner in there, they'd probably want a little bit more. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So that's just kind of giving an idea of where I would think that Warriors' best offer would be. And of course, if you're the Warriors, you do that. If you're the Bucks, well, you're exploring the market, and let's see why we think that at this point, the Warriors' offer is the most enticing. Number one is that the picks matter more than anything else. Yeah, there are good, enticing young players. It doesn't sound like there's any, you know, franchise altering players being dangled, at least at this point. And I'm sure there may be some that come to play, at least by the from the teams that are interested. Maybe some dark horse teams willing to dangle players, aka like a Scottie Barnes from the Raptors. You never know. But at this point, only really the picks matter in this, and players are nice to have, but it's secondary. Point being that the Bucks are hitting a full rebuild here, right? So if you're hitting a full rebuild, you're not going to be competitive relevant for probably 4 or 5 years before you're actually sniffing any sort of above 500 record. After that, you know, probably a couple more years until you're truly actually trying to contend for anything. So let's just call it a 4 to 5 year window of irrelevance. Which players at this point are really going to help you 4 or 5 years down the road? Answer would be somebody that's either 21 to 24 years old. So they're entering their prime at, call it what, 26 to 29 years old at that point. Or somebody that could be a potential max level player. So, hey, like we know that we're going to give them a full contract, probably an extension. They're going to be a pillar, cornerstone player of our franchise, whether as a 1A, 1B, maybe even like a secondary option type player. But it's going to be someone that we believe in enough has that upside to be somebody that, you know, is going to take us to that next timeline. If you're the Bucks, does that player exist in the market right now? Let's look, right? Like, I guess my question would be, you know, does a good player, a somewhat promising young player matter right now if they don't have star potential? I'm not sure. Let's look at the Heat, just because it sounds like they're running right behind us. It would be Tyler Hero would be the pillar of that deal. Well, Tyler Hero's 25 right now, so he's kind of right on that edge of, you know, he's going to be 30 in 5 years, you know, back end kind of just maybe declining out of that prime, maybe still, you know, in the prime, but you know, is he really what you're building around at this point if you're the Bucks? He's a good player, great scorer. I don't know if he's going to be your max contract guy that you're saying, wow, we're building everything around him, especially as he kind of enters his 30s. I just don't know that I would build anything around Hero if I'm the Bucks, or at least make him the priority here. He'd be nice to have, but also the Heat, Hawkes, Khalil Ware, nice young players, useful players. Does either of them have star potential, leading scorer potential? Hawkes, no, not because just the athleticism is not there, but he'll be a nice role player. Khalil Ware, promising young center, shooting ability. Maybe, but again, I don't know. I think he was what, like a late lottery pick. Does he have star potential? Probably not. So yeah, enticing picks from the Heat. But again, they only have two first round picks they can offer. Is that enough to say, hey, we'd rather have these guys over four first round picks and a swap and Kuminga's upside? And then, you know, I guess in that same breath, you know, maybe a little bit of Pods. But again, I'd throw Pods in kind of the Hawkes level of, nice role player, some potential, but never going to be a star. Let's look at this dark horse team that's kind of come in, just again, posturing, speculation. Giannis loves Anthony Edwards. So let's talk the Timberwolves. They have Julius Randle, who's 30, would be 31 years old in 4 or 5 years from now. So, he's not really helping your cause there. He's kind of peaked as a player. He's good, but yeah, you're not building your franchise around him. The real crown jewel here would be JD McDaniels, who's 25 years old right now. So he would be kind of entering that prime, maybe even slightly older than you're wanting, kind of like Hero. Never going to be like a lead scorer. I can't see him scoring more than 19, 20 points a game, although he is improving quickly. Fantastic defender, great athletic wing, which is at a premium right now in the NBA. So yeah, Jaden McDaniels worth probably couple first round picks at this point, but are you with the Wolves not really having, I don't think, like any picks at this point. Is that going to be enough to get them there? Maybe you're trading Randle for a highly protected first round pick. Maybe you're trading McDaniels for maybe three first round picks if you're lucky and you can dangle those picks, but then you don't really have a young upside player to also package in there. So I don't see the Wolves really being able to get there in terms of equity. And it would take a lot of gymnastics to get there and getting in a third, fourth team even. I just don't know if you have the time to do that in the next week, despite how much, if it's true, the Giannis would want to play with Anthony Edwards. I just don't know. Like I said earlier, maybe the Raptors jump in there with like Scottie Barnes, who they've shown zero interest in putting in trade talk. So I just don't think so. But my point is that's what it would take for a team without the draft capital and just without any other young players to really move the needle and just leapfrog the Warriors. Is like, you got to be dangling like a young all-star, like a Scottie Barnes, who's 24 right now and truly on the upswing and could be, your next franchise top 10 player in the NBA. But for now, we're going to table the Scottie Barnes talks. So again, picks matter much more to the Bucks at this point if I'm in putting my head around their psychology. Also, another thought experiment. So the players that you are looking at, right? So we're talking really young, some upside. Maybe they want a guy like Kuminga, and they just want a raw project like Kuminga, who's 23 years old. He would be entering mid prime in 3 to 4 or 5 years from now. He'll be like what, 27, 28 years old when they're going to be relevant again. Maybe because they've seen what Giannis, also a raw athlete when he entered the NBA, and they were patient with him and saw what he became. Maybe they think, hey, we're gonna take another swing on a project like this with all athletic potential, and that's why we like someone like Kuminga. And by no means am I saying Kuminga is worth more or more valuable than most of the players I mentioned earlier, but my point being that he might have the highest raw upside. He's got a lot of work to do, but if you're the Bucks, you want the picks, and then maybe you're just chasing pure upside because most of these players probably aren't going to be relevant when it matters to you anyways. Let's chase a Kuminga who, we have a year next year on just this very tradable contract. Let's just opt into the team option. Let's see what we have for a year with him, and no risk, no harm. If you don't like him, you can either cut him, trade away his contract, or just re-sign him to a much more affordable deal, what he's worth at the time. I'm just saying it's a project, and maybe they see some value there and it kind of fits their timeline better. Ultimately, the reason why the Warriors, again, are in the driver's position is because they have the best picks. Only the Brooklyn Nets at this point seem to be able, I think they have like 11 first round picks that are tradable. They could technically get in there, and it sounds like they speculation they might throw their hat in the ring, but I just don't see Giannis wanting to go there and just playing with, maybe Michael Porter Jr., but I think they would have to probably send him out to make this trade work anyways. Same situation as Milwaukee, right? Yeah, you're in Brooklyn and you just have a bunch of crap around you, and I just can't see him signing off, or at least saying, hey, I want to sign an extension to stay there. And there's a few other teams like that with enticing picks and young players, but I would have to think that, those types of teams are not going to fly with Giannis. So again, Warriors seem to fit the build there, and just again, if I'm the Bucks, I'm thinking the Warriors right now, it makes the most sense. You're getting the best picks. And most importantly, the picks that the Warriors have, and you're looking, next. Well, I guess you're looking next year where the Warriors are going to have probably a mid-teens pick and a loaded draft. The 2026 first round pick, decent value, even though you still have Steph Curry. Then you're looking at potentially the post Steph Curry picks, maybe 2030. Hopefully not. Hopefully he's still playing at that point. But 2030, 2032 picks, the 2031 swap, those are all potentially post Steph Curry picks where the Warriors are going to have no picks up until then. You don't really have any other players on the roster. You have Draymond Green, who will probably be retired at that point. Obviously, they'll have Giannis, but any team you're trading Giannis to, it's the same issue. You would just have Giannis there. Warriors have the most appealing picks in terms of, hey, this could be the first overall pick potentially. This could be a franchise-changing player. You have 3, maybe 4 years of these post-Steph Curry picks that you hope are unprotected and could turn into a franchise-altering player. If I'm the Bucks, that seems pretty juicy to me. On top of that, you have a little project with Kuminga. Who knows where that goes? But again, if you're swinging for the stars and a good high upside rebuild, that's what would make the most sense to the Bucks. But the questions are, first off, does Giannis even want to come to the Warriors? I have to believe that Giannis, I mean, the fact that the Warriors have been preparing for Giannis for 7 years, he's been a name that's just been on their wish list, despite the Bucks being good, the Bucks being contenders for a few of those years. Why have they just been waiting on Giannis this whole time? There has to be some sort of inkling that, hey, he would be open to playing with Steph Curry and the Warriors. Maybe it's just because they share an agent. Maybe it's just because they had a sweet alley-oop in the All-Star game and they hugged it out and they seemed to be buddies. If that's all we're operating on, then I mean, I don't know if that's good enough, but at least it's something. I have to think that at some point to someone, he's indicated that he'd be open to coming to the Bay Area. And that's why the Warriors have just basically been waiting on Giannis for all these years. So yeah, he has a whole bunch of speculative preferred destinations. None of those have been directly leaked from Giannis or his team. It's just people speculating, again, posturing who he's, friends with on social media, all these things that don't really matter, but might matter slightly. I tend to believe that if the Bucks wanted to trade him to the Warriors, Giannis would be okay and go along with it, hopefully. If his concern is, hey, long term, I'm looking past the next 2, 3 years, and I don't want to go to a team that's not going to be competitive and it's going to be like the Bucks all over again 4 or 5 years down the road, I could see that. I can understand that. I don't know that that's a big enough red flag at this point to just stop him from chasing a title with Steph for the next 2, 3 years, because at that point, the Warriors are going to have no contracts on the books. They're going to hopefully be able to sell him on, we can lure another all-star that wants to play, for this great franchise with you and chase a ring. Worst case scenario, you can always just request another trade. All right, 3 years down the road, looks like the Warriors are just going to be a lottery team with or without Giannis. Hey, you know what? Let's go somewhere else and let's just try this again. I mean, that's always on the table, and I don't like hearing that as a Warriors fan or thinking that, but if that's what it takes to get Giannis to just give you a shot for the next few years and go from there, sure. That's if I'm Giannis, you could always think like that. It's like taking a new job and you have all these questions, or you can always change jobs. You can always look for a new job, and it's never nothing ever has to be permanent. More important question. Is a this trade the best trade for the Bucks that's going to be on the table? But B, does it make sense for the Bucks to trade Giannis at this point before the deadline, or does it make more sense for them to wait until the offseason? I think that's the 50-50 question right now. There are arguments to be made for both, right? If they want to wait until the summer, you're going to have more suitors, there's going to be more picks. We're in the next league year, so all the 2033 picks are now in play because you can only trade picks 7 years out in advance. They're gonna have more access to their own picks for pick swaps. There's just a whole bunch more elements in play where, hey, now you can truly shop him and there's going to be a bigger market. But on the flip side, why they are leaning, I would lean towards doing it now is A, a bird in the hand. You never know what happens. I mean, yeah, it's Giannis, but he's got a lingering calf issue. What if he comes back later this year and, knock on wood, stays with the Bucks and tears an Achilles? Now, what's his real value? What do you're losing? You're gonna wish you had to trade him at the deadline. Is anyone still gonna be able to beat what the Warriors are offering right now? Or yeah, exactly. I don't know that they can really hold out and say, okay, now we're hoping for six first round picks or five first round picks. Maybe this is the best deal they're going to get right now. Additionally, pressure from Giannis. Giannis wants to get this trade done. The sooner he gets out of there, the sooner he can get that max extension with his next team. Maybe he's just unhappy. You just don't want this looming over your head for the next few months. And once you get to the offseason, if you're the Bucks, Giannis has that much more leverage because, teams are going to say, hey, he only has one more year on his contract, and then he has a player option. You lose a lot of leverage. Giannis has that leverage at that point because now he can say, I can opt out of this player option and I have 1 year expiring deal. And the Bucks just don't have as much leverage as they would right now, where you have that extra half year, including a playoff run, et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty 50-50. And it seems, again, once again, that if the Bucks decided, hey, it's time to move them, and there's a lot of people that think they should, the Warriors are in the driver's seat. So all we can do, sit back and wait. Hope it, all this again, for all the posturing speculation, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm posturing, I'm speculating, and I'm hoping that, at this point, this stays the status quo and this is the best deal for the Bucks. Just switching gears here, if the Warriors realize that, hey, we're not going to get Giannis, and it's just not going to happen for whatever reason, there are some potential pivots you can make before the trade deadline, because I do think the Warriors need to be active in some sort, one way or the other. Sounds like Anthony Slater said, the Pelicans are just asking for too much and just not really taking calls on any of their young wings, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones. If that's the case, keep moving on. Sounds like the Heat really haven't had any discussions with Wiggins yet. Sounds like, what was the other one? Michael Porter Jr., they want like a king's ransom for him. So it sounds like there's really not a lot of options at this point for the Warriors, unless you're just drastically overpaying, which you don't want to do. So options that could come is maybe you trade some picks to a team that's trying to go get Giannis, right? Like, assume you're out of the sweepstakes. Maybe you give a couple picks for Jaden McDaniels, and the Wolves need those picks to go get Giannis. Hey, I'd take Jaden McDaniels for two first round picks. I don't think I would do it for three first round picks, but maybe for two. Maybe the Heat need that first round pick like we talked about earlier, and they are willing to give you Wiggins for Kuminga and a first. You could think about it. The New York Knicks, OG Anunoby. Maybe they're willing to trade OG Anunoby for a couple first round picks. I don't know that that puts you over the top if you're the Warriors, but hey, if you're looking towards next year, you got Steph, Anunoby, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. That's a pretty good starting spot for a team, and then you can kind of maneuver from there. So just different ways that the Warriors could potentially pivot and salvage something out of this whole Giannis sweepstakes if you're unable to land him. All right, like I said, let's stay up to date with everything. I'm going to keep giving you as much info as I can. I am just glued to Twitter or X these days and just watching as much as I can. So I will just relay as much credible information as I can to you. So you want to hear it all in one place, stay up to date, hear it first from here. Stacking Dubs, Chris Chin, give me a subscribe. All right, until next time, peace, love, and Stacking Dubs.